You are now listening to the First Baptist Church of America's podcast. If you have any questions about our church, please check us out online at fbcamericas.org.
This week we are out at Camp Friendship for our family picnic as Brother Keith preaches on how to flourish as God's people. Let's listen in.
Is there anybody in here that has any problem with sin? Anybody? Let me see by the raising of your hand. Do you have a problem with sin? And every hand should be up. Because if your hand didn't go up, and you have deceived yourself, and you are calling God a liar. We all have a problem with sin. But thankfully, just as the choir has sung, and as God's word tells us, he gives us a way to deal with that sin. And so, if we deal with the sin that's in us according to his ways, then we will flourish. You want to flourish? I do. I want to flourish. And I want you to flourish. And that means when you and I are flourishing together, God's church is flourishing. It means we're growing. It means we're thriving. That doesn't mean that we are not without problems. I don't believe in a prosperity gospel. I don't believe that those that say, if you do this and this and this, then everything will be well with you. I don't believe it. I don't think God's word teaches that. It's certainly not true for Jesus, and I don't think we should expect it to be true for ourselves, because we know that trouble is a part of this life. But we can flourish in the midst of trouble. Like a tree planted by a river, it stands firm, even though the flood may rage. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. The principles of flourish, to flourish as God's people, they're the same today as they were in the Old Testament times, as they were in the New Testament times. The principles are the same. And it all comes down to acknowledging who God is. Acknowledging who he is God, and acknowging who we are sinners. He is God, we are not. And so we are basically the same as the people to whom Hosea spoke these words. Now if you remember your Bible history, Hosea was the last of the prophets of the northern kingdom. After Solomon, the kingdom split into the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, Hosea was the last prophet to speak to the northern kingdom of Israel. And those folks were full of sin, they were full of self. And all of you raised your hand while ago that we have the same problem. We have to deal with self, and we have to deal with sin. So this word that Hosea spoke way back then is still for us today. So let's look at the passage together. And I want to give you three elements of flourishing. If we want to flourish as God's people, it starts individually and then it happens collectively. But there are three elements, and those three elements are return. We've got to return to God. We have to repent. And then we have to receive what God wants to give us. So, those three things that we're looking at: return, repent, receive. I don't always look for things that start with the same letter, but these just kind of fell out as I was studying this. Return, repent, and receive. So, follow along with me if you have your Bible there. We need to return to God. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Now, every person is a child of God in the sense that God is the creator of every person. And we know that every person is not a child of God spiritually until by faith they accept what Jesus has done for them. But the sense in which every person is a child of God, he is our creator, and therefore, when we go astray, we need to return to our creator. And that's what Hosea is calling them to do, return. to the Lord your God. And they were in a condition of apostasy. They had followed their own will. They had followed their own desires for so long, and some of that due to the bad kings that led the northern kingdom. But ultimately, it's not your leaders that determine your outcome. It's you, individually. So we can talk about our country and the direction we're going or have been in or will go in. Ultimately, your destiny depends on you and what you believe about God and who He is to you. So He is calling them, He is calling us to return to God. Let's acknowledge God for who He is. He is God. But then the second thing He says, repent. It's not enough just to return and acknowledge God. When we go back to Him, we have to do something, and it is to repent. Starting in the second verse, really the last part of the second verse, but it says, take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say our gods to what our own hands have made. For in you the fatherless find compassion. So when we return to God, if we ever get to that place that we want to acknowledge God for who He is, we will see Him as He is, and we will see ourselves as we are. And the only thing we can do is to repent and take with us fruit of our lips. And the fruit of our lips here would be confession that would eventually turn to praise and thanksgiving. We take Him fruit of our lips because the fruit of our lips is far more important than our sacrificial rituals of worship, of even making the effort to come out here and worship together. That might have been a sacrifice for you, but more importantly is your heartfelt confession of the repentance of your own condition, of your sin. And part of that fruit of the lips would be that we would admit, he said, Assyria cannot save us. Your government cannot save you. War horses cannot save you. Your military cannot save you. Or our gods. Those are idols. The things that we have in our lives that we think we depend on for salvation. But none of that stuff can save us. And so we repent, we turn to Him, and we come back to Him. And see, when we do that, when we return to God, when we repent of our sins and give Him His rightful place, then we are in a position to receive what He wants to give us. Look at that. Starting in verse 4. I will heal their wavering and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. See, they've returned, they've repented, and God has turned His anger away from them, and He will love them freely. What does that mean? Freely, there's no condition by which you can earn His love. You can't earn His grace, but He gives it freely if we put ourselves in the position to receive it. It's free. Absolutely free. You will never be able to deserve this. And you know, we think we can. We think we're good. We think we're doing the right things. But the bottom line is that we're all sinners. And we are dependent on His grace and His love that He gives us freely. And verses 5 through 8, those are the effects of His grace in our lives. Look at that. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily, like a cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree. His fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. Men who dwell again in his shade, he will flourish like the grain. He will blossom like a vine, and his fame will be like the wine from Lebanon. O Ephraim, What more have I to do with idols? I will answer him and care for him. I am like a green pine tree. Your fruitfulness comes from me. And that verse 8 is God speaking there. Your fruitfulness comes from me, God says. If we want any fruit, it's not going to come by our ability. It's going to come from his hand as he offers it to us. And then verse 9 is a summary of the book, of the whole book of Hosea. And if you look at it, it's really a summary of the whole Bible. Who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning? He will understand them. And so here it is, bottom line. The ways of the Lord are right. And then there are two groups of people. The righteous walk in them. The righteous walk in the ways of God, but the rebellious stumble in the ways of God. See, in God's eyes, there are really two groups of people, and they're not Republican and Democrat. They're not Georgia or Alabama. They are those that follow his ways and those who don't. And it's really quite simple when you think about that. And if we want to flourish, if we want to be able to stand strong no matter what comes our way, then we will walk in the ways of God. Judy and I had a chance to go to Yosemite a couple of weeks ago. And while we were there, we were listening to the rangers as they were talking, and I was reading and more after we came back. But for a long, long time, the rangers there thought they were doing the right thing to save the forests of Yosemite. And so they would suppress fires. And for years and years and years, fires would just occur naturally in that forest by lightning strikes. But even the Native Americans knew the benefits of fire. So they would set fire so the meadows would be healthy and the meadows would flourish. Well, after the area became a national park, the rangers started suppressing all the fires. And so they stopped all the naturals or the setting of fires like the Native Americans did. But even when a lightning strike would come, they would go and immediately suppress it the best they could. So for 100 years or so, all the underbrush grew up. And the saplings grew up. The trees grew up. And so now when a fire starts, it creates a catastrophic fire because all of that brush acted like a stepladder to the canopy of the giant sequoias and the huge ponderosa pines. And that fire would just walk up that ladder and consume those massive trees. And so what the rangers thought they were doing to save the forest, it was actually putting the forest at greater risk. And they can't now just go in and set a fire because it's too much underbrush. And so they have to clear out. Because if not, then we see, as we saw last year and the year before last, there are catastrophic fires that take place in that area because of all the underbrush that's there. And I think it's the same way with our lives spiritually. If we have sin in our lives that we don't confess, we've already all acknowledged that we have sin. But if we have sin that we don't confess, then all of that sin just builds up and builds up, and it leads to something catastrophic in our lives. And the biggest catastrophe is if we don't do anything to say, Lord, forgive me of my sin nature. And that catastrophe is death, spiritual death. But even though we may have given our life to him, and we're Christians, we know that we have salvation, we still have sins that we need to confess. And we need to do that on a regular basis to acknowledge, God, you're God, I am not. Please forgive me. And thank you for your mercy, and thank you for your grace. See, we have people that try to point out what sin is. I read an interesting article this week. It said, whatever happened to the S word? We don't like to hear people talking about sin because we like to categorize our sins. We like to say what sin is based on our own perspective and our own desires. But we know pretty much what sin is. It's missing the mark that God has given us. And that's why we're all in the same boat. We're all sinners. But because of his grace, he covers us. If we just acknowledge his sin. 100 years after Hosea wrote these words, God sent Jeremiah, who was a prophet in the southern kingdom. And the people of the northern kingdom were in captivity. Even then, they were stubborn and prideful and wouldn't admit their sin. And God sent Jeremiah to them. And he said, just admit your sinfulness. If you would just admit your guilt. And we have people today that will not admit their guilt. I'm a sinner. But I am a sinner who is forgiven because of what Jesus has done for me. See, it all comes down to Jesus. Without Christ, no one would have any hope because Jesus was the only one who fulfilled God's desires and lived the way God intends us to live. And so now I transfer my life to his life and put it under his life. And God accepts that. God accepts it and he forgives me. Has he forgiven you? Are you daily asking for forgiveness of those sins that hinder your witness for Christ? I hope you are. Because we certainly all need to do that. So as we close today, I just want you to remember that if we want to flourish as God's people, it's going to come as we return to him, as we repent of our sins, and as we receive what he wants to give us. And so may we all seek to flourish. And some of you remember the study that we did with Andy Stanton. And one of the things that he says, and I hope I'll never forget, is let it begin by wanting to want what God wants. We're not all there, but let's just begin by wanting what God wants. And then little by little, he will lead us. He will lead us to the meadow. By the way, the areas that have burned in Yosemite, the meadows are flourishing. The forests are flourishing. And that's the way it is with God's church. As we deal with the sin in our lives, we too will flourish. And let it be for his glory and never ours. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. Without your grace, Lord, we would have no hope. But you've given it freely. Your word tells us over and over, it's freely given to all who would receive it. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts individually today. That you would help us to deal with the sin that's in our lives so that collectively then we begin to take on the nature of Christ toward other people. We want you to glorify yourself through our lives. Lord, we don't have any glory, but we give you the glory that you give us. And Lord, thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would like to know more about how you can flourish as one of God's children, please give us a call. You can find our information on our website at fbcamericus.org. Thank you, and tune in next week as we continue our journey through John's Gospel.